and welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by Dr. Kevin Ezell, the president of the North American Mission Board. And even before we go one step further, let me just thank the North American Mission Board for making this entire podcast be a reality, both Revitalize and Replant and churchreplanters.com. We know that we're recording this 3 weeks ahead, so we know that the coronavirus issue will have changed dramatically since we've recorded that. But North American Mission Board is prepared for so many things. We always talk about them helping reverse the trend of the death rate of existing churches and increasing the birth rate of churches. And we focus on churchreplanters.com. But I also want us just to talk about what's going in the world, going on in the world of this largest national mission organization, and what's happening. So before we begin, let me just welcome Kevin. Kevin and I we talk offline, and we sometimes make sure that Kevin Spratt and Amy Jordan are and the folks at NAM are not pushing a record button anywhere else. But we were having a good offline conversation, and we're just talking about all the things going on right now. So to give you a perspective, this air date is April 16th. The taping date of this, the recording date, is March 25th. I don't usually timestamp them, but because there are so many things that are going on with coronavirus, I want to just let you know that we understand things will have changed since we've recorded this. But having said that, Kevin, let me welcome you and just give us whatever updates you want to give us of what's going on in your world as you're helping churches.
Sure. It's a challenging time for everybody. Everybody's navigating it. It affects, it's weird. It's like a, you know, when I'm pastoring Kentucky, you have a snow Sunday and or two Sundays, I remember, in a row, and you have to try to figure out how to navigate. You tell your friends in Florida what you're going through, and they really couldn't identify.
So it, right.
This is where everybody in the world is dealing with this. And so, we have a resolve about ourselves, and we're going to make it through this. We know it. It's just going to look very different on the other end. And yep. we're having to reimagine some things. I told our team yesterday, look, we're having to reimagine some things. That, like, we're all a startup again. I saw an article the other day, and we're just trying to figure it out. But we've just got to reimagine how we do. And quite honestly, I'm not trying to blow smoke here, Tom, but with some of the things, you know, we've had to learn to work remotely before, and we followed some of the example that you implemented there at Lifeway of helping people work remotely. And because we'd already done that for about 10 months when we repurposed our building, it was like flipping on a switch, and we've been ahead of the curve on that. So we're able to function remotely. But again, I'm so grateful for you kind of setting the standard and giving us a model to follow, because it really has put us in a pretty good, as far as working, you know, with the revenue and the challenges there. We're cutting everything we possibly can cut so that we can function. And we've all, one of our core values is to do more with less. We've always said we're not going to let money drive our vision. Our vision will drive.
That's good.
And so we're just going to have a chance to live that out now. We're going to do more with a lot less.
Well, once again, dating things is undoubtedly problematic, because 3 weeks from now, when this is released and they're listening to it, my information will be so if it was tomorrow, it would be so old. But we received information this morning in Tennessee that we're on the fourth day of decline in new cases. So it is pretty wild to watch in the state of Tennessee. Right now, we're on the, at least at this point, 4 days only, we're on the other side of the curve, and I hope it continues. I pray it continues. But that was an encouraging piece of information.
Well, you know, I think I appreciate it too. I mean, you're way ahead of the curve. You know, just by personality, you don't like being around people, so you have very little
chance. Exactly. I've been telling people about the stand and greet, shaking and shaking hands and hugging for years. And my only concern was their protection, Kevin.
Right. Hugging's way overestimated. That's always your motto.
Dr. Rainer's been social distancing for years.
Yes. That's Kevin Spratt in Lexington, in case you're wondering where that voice came from. You know, you'll hear his voice from time to time because he makes some good comments. I'm waiting for the day that Amy Jordan out of Richmond decides to, you know, start talking in the midst of this. She will not push her mute button, but we got Kevin in Lexington and Amy in Richmond. But
Tom, you're the first one to come up with a 6-mile social distancing.
And I do not want to make light of coronavirus, but I'm, you know, this.
It hasn't affected you.
Franklin, Tennessee has now mandated stay at home. So, the state of Tennessee has at this point asked you to stay at home. It's been mandated in Franklin. I don't know what the problem is. It's great.
I just have a word out there for all those guys. Just say, hey, 5 days, change to flannel. You got, after 5 days, you know, those flannel pants, you got to change them every 5 days or insert fresh.
There you go. There you go. Well, we did want to talk about something that I think will be good for churches on the other side of the coronavirus. Certainly it'll be good for them now, but as they reimagine themselves, and you're exactly right, Kevin, churches will not be the same. Shortly after this podcast, I wrote a blog post about the blank slate. As you're listening to me, it actually releases in the future. As they're hearing this, it's in the past. And I talk about some of the things that we are seeing that will take place. You will not go back to your church. You will go back to a new church. You get to define what is new right now. And one of the things that we know is that many churches have been challenged to reach some of these groups that are not believers in Christ. And so we're going to take a couple of episodes, Kevin, and just talk about some of these different groups. It's not like you or I don't know them, but we are just going to go down item by item, and we'll probably look at 3 or 4 of them this time, and then on another podcast, we'll look at the rest of them. To give our listeners a perspective, the research came from Pew. Pew Research is an incredible research organization. Oftentimes, our tribes do not get this information. They're just not looking at you. If a report comes out, this is the group that got us all worked up about the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, back in 2012. But for most of the part, their research does not get widely disseminated. I love this religious typology because it lets us know where we're on mission and to whom we're on mission. And it's somewhat startling, but at the same time, very, very helpful. So I'm just going to see what you would have to say about each of these, Kevin. We'll probably get to maybe the top three of these. They're really 7 different groups that jump out at us. It's called a religious typology. And if that sounds incredibly boring, I want you to think of this in terms of the Great Commission. These are the people that God has commanded us to reach. And as you begin to rethink your church, as you begin to rethink what is going on the other side of this coronavirus, what the world will look like, these people will still be there. So the first group, maybe we can take a while and just really park on this one, Kevin, the Sunday stalwarts. These are the religious traditionalists who are actively involved with their faith, engaged in their congregation. These are the almost there every Sunday type of people. When this study was done in 2018, so we're almost 2 years now out from the study. When this study was done in 2018, this particular group, which is the core of our churches, was only 17% of those who were surveyed. So you take this any way you want to, Kevin, go in any direction, but what do you think is going to happen to the Sunday stalwarts, those who are there on a regular basis now and post-corona?
You know, I oddly enough, I think this is perhaps one of the groups that will be affected the most. I think there's churches that were stuck in certain ways of communicating. They've been forced in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
They've been forced to completely change how they do ministry. It was interesting. I just saw an article about a church in Kentucky. There was a pastor in Kentucky that they run 25. And he hated Facebook and all that stuff, you know, made fun of his grandkids because they did it. And this pastor, I mean, he's in his 70s and would have nothing to do with social anything. They ran 25. He was forced to do a FaceTime live service and had 80 attend.
Wow.
And he said, it's changed me forever. You know, I was so wrong. And I just talked to a guy who leads churches in New England. And he said, you know, in 2 weeks' time, our churches have updated themselves, gotten out of the 70s and 80s faster in 2 weeks than we could have done in two decades, because they just refuse to be moved. They just want to do it like they've always done it. And this has made them, you know, adjust some things. So I think this particular group may be the most affected of any of them.
Let me talk to you about another statistic that came from a webinar that we did. I had this recording a little over a week ago, and it's a broad spectrum of people. It certainly had Southern Baptists, but it was broader than Southern Baptists. And Kevin, what were the total number of registrants? About 3,500 people. Kevin Spratt, I'm sorry.
Yeah, actually 4,100 people registered for the webinar.
And then we had
1,600. We had 1,600 participate, and then we know that 1,000 have gone back and
so 2,600 people. 1,600 live, 1,000 have seen it since then, and they were just there eating up the topic. But one of the things we do, Kevin Ezell, is we do surveys. Kevin Spratt has done a great job of introducing us to real-time surveys while we're doing these webinars. And by the way, these webinars are always free, so we're just trying to help people. And we're doing a real-time webinar, and one of the questions that we ask is, what's your financial condition? We could go down all of this was the first full week into Corona, and the responses were absolutely amazing, but one of them that was one of the most challenging is 15%, if I recall, Kevin Spratt, 15% said they expect their doors to close, and that was just in 1 week.
Yes, that was 15%, and that was so we had to do two sessions. So that was 15% across the board. So we did two different webinars, 800 attending each one, and 15%. I mean, it was like clockwork that they jumped in and said they felt they were going to close the door.
So Kevin Ezell, one of the things that you have led, and I've told you, you're going to be considered the pioneer of the replant movement. It's just certainly church planting has been at your heart, but I think as far as the innovative, you're going to be considered the pioneer of the church replanting movement. How would you respond in any way to this 15% who before coronavirus didn't think they were going to close and now they are?
I'd just say that's ridiculous. I mean, that's just ridiculous. To look at the fact that you're just going to let finances determine that. People often say, I feel for these smaller churches. These smaller churches are, you know, they're going to be such a bind. And I pastored a smaller church. My first church voted me in 7-0. I mean,
and I'm jealous because mine was 6-1.
That's right. And, but, you know, the thing is, I really think, I know our church, we would have been fine. Yeah, they might not have been able to pay me for a week or two or three, but we turn on our lights and we do church. We didn't have a staff. I was it. And bivocational, you know. And we didn't have a debt. We didn't have all those things. I think it's more of the medium to larger churches that are going to have the challenge with our, you know, you have for years talked to pastors about lowering the percent of their personnel and their overall budget. And the ones who have well over 50%, they're going to have challenges. The ones who, you know, have kept it down in the ranges you've encouraged them to do are going to weather this. And so, you know, I just disappoint with guys who look at they do a financial calculation and say, okay, we're going to have to close our doors. And that's just, you know, man up, put your big boy pants on, and find a way to make it through this. I mean, the church will stand. You know, I mean, and we just cannot allow that to happen, where if we have to go out and all get part-time jobs or I mean, it may scale back, yes, but my word, I mean, the church is staying. What's that old truth song from years ago? The church triumphant, it's alive and well. I mean, I really believe it's in the most difficult times that we see the very best happen. You know, financially, hey, the numbers may not be, but I'm telling you, the impact the church can make, the world is watching, and we have the hope of Christ, and we should be more hopeful and more expectant now than any other group that's on this.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And people are looking at me askew when I say, I am not minimizing the tragedy of the deaths, the sickness, the economic hits that so many are taking. All of us are taking. But this is an exciting time to be alive and in ministry because it's a great new opportunity. And I love my team because they get it. They absolutely get it. Yeah, tough times, but man, it's good to turn out. Just to give you a perspective, if that number was true, and again, my response was, I cannot see it happening. I actually said that. That's 55,000 churches that say they're on the brink. That 15% would be 55,000, of course, well beyond just the SBC. But
yeah, and a lot of it you got to factor in there. Look, are these churches, are they closing because of the coronavirus, or is it just an excuse to do what they think they need to do anyway because they're not being affected?
Wow.
I think the coronavirus may be a smokescreen for some people to do what they, you know, they've been contemplating because they just see, look, we're not making a difference. And I just want to, hey, a word to those churches. If lateral those facilities to the North American Mission Board or to somebody so that we can do something with them. Don't turn those into condos. I mean, we can repurpose and replant some churches to make a significant difference. And so, I would encourage them not to use it as a smokescreen, but a chance to up their game.
Best way, if a church really thinks that's going to happen and they want to move facilities to the North American Mission Board, is churchreplanters.com the best place to contact them? Or do you have something?
Yeah, else? Or email me, kezel@nam.net. We don't take my word. This is incredibly important. And it's you don't want to see those. I would take 100 of those today and we'll process those. We will absolutely, we have a whole department that just does. And wow. Looking for properties that we can replant churches. So absolutely, please, please let us know. It's kezel@nam.net or theidiot@nam.net. All those come to me.
Really?
Yeah, they really do.
Oh, wow.
I embraced it years ago.
I had no idea. I have a new way that I'll be communicating with you because I've been called the same. But, wow. And so the point that I wanted to make is to call you the father of a movement is makes you sound old, but I do call you the father of the replanting movement. There were people before you, but a father of a movement is someone who disseminates it widespread. And so what you're saying clearly is this is an opportunity for replanting if you think there's no other way at this point.
Yeah, if you think there's no other way, or look at it as a positive way. This is a positive way to pass the baton.
Right.
And this is just brings this, it maybe moves this up a year or two in your thinking, but it's not dissolving of something, it's the birthing of something. And you know, I would just really encourage churches that are contemplating things like that. Look, there you have more options than just two. There's several options that churches can look at, and we can help you in that, as well as, you know, Tom, your ministry can do that as well.
Well, I certainly want them to know of your availability, and sure, we're available too, but y'all have been doing this for some time, and didn't you pass 10 years at some point recently?
Yeah, it'd be September. Yeah, it seemed like 10 several years ago, but it actually will not be 10 until September.
Well, you came in with a strong vision for church planning, and it wasn't that much longer that replanting became a part of it as well. And so if somebody's been doing it for such a while as you with that type of passion, I want them to contact the North American Mission Board in the midst of all of this. I'm not worried about us at this point not getting to some of the other groups because we're going to have a part two on this, Kevin, and we'll talk about some of these other groups and the implications there. But I really wanted us to focus on the Sunday stalwarts, because the Sunday stalwarts are the ones that may be the greatest challenge. And just to give you all a review of what we're doing, we're looking at religious typology. And we talked about the Sunday stalwarts being the religious traditionalists actively involved with their faith and engaged in the congregation. And it's 17%, according to the Pew Research study. And we've got all of the show notes there to, if you want to click on that study and look at the detail. When we come back with Kevin, we're looking at some of these other typologies and some of the options that are available there. But before we go, Kevin, on this particular episode, we'll pick up the other typologies next time. Any words that you want to give to the churches? Again, we know that this, when they're getting this, it'll be the middle of April, but any words you want to give them?
Sure. I would just encourage pastors or church leaders to take advice of I forgot even who said it, but never let a crisis go to waste. And this is an opportunity for you and your church to have some real good, honest, hard discussions with yourself about where you are. And it can provide a way for you to accelerate where you are or to accelerate a possible transition. Whichever one you decide, just don't let this opportunity go to waste. You have an opportunity now to do more than ever before.
And just as a addition to what Kevin just said, that quote originated with Ron Emanuel. Ron Emanuel, part of the Clinton administration. And of
course, probably wouldn't have used it if I'd known that.
Yeah, I understand, but I know, but it's still a great quote. It is really a great quote. And during some of our most difficult times at Lifeway, when we were going through some challenges, Brad Wagner, who was then executive vice president, walked into my office, and I said, Brad, how are we going to get through this? What do you think about it? Don't let a crisis go to waste. I don't know who said that, but it's smart. I wish I had said it.
Yeah.
So you just said that too. Okay. Thanks for joining us on Revitalize and Replant. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever your favorite podcasting app is. Give us a rating and review. That's not just a script line. The word gets out when you begin to do things like that. Give us a rating and review, and we'll continue to help churches get healthier together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.